It is Mother's Day. And so, you know, we've been trying to get in some kind of a rhythm with our services a little bit. I don't know how this is going to work today, but moms, I've got something for you. The church has something for you, and it's kind of cool. We have these gifts, so we'll give them out a little bit later. But in case I forget to mention it, I'll mention it now. Our young people, our youth, picked out some verses. And because of the way printing them all went and everything, I didn't use all the verses they picked out. But there are verses picked out by our youth that they thought would be like, if mom was going to get a verse, one of these would be pretty cool. So the verses are on the gifts that we have for mothers. If there's a mom that's not here, we're going to try to make sure she gets that. We had one mom already today who was sick of her kids, so she didn't show up. No, just wasn't feeling well. So you know, we'll get that. And the verses are on little cards that you can then pop off and put under a magnet on your refrigerator or something. So whatever verse God gives to you, maybe it'll resonate for you through the rest of the year. And I thought that would be kind of cool. So we'll get those to you later. But right now, turn to Psalm 121. And while you're turning to Psalm 121, I want to mention, I was going to put it up and I forgot to, it's too much going on this morning, I forgot to give it to Matt, but I saw this fun picture and actually posted it on my Facebook page. I'm not there as much. I haven't been doing Facebook as much. I've been kind of ignoring it. But I did, like April 20th, I posted a picture. And it was a woman sitting at a desk, obviously interviewing another younger lady. And they're looking at each other, and the woman behind the desk says, "Well, we're looking for someone who can do the work of two men." And the younger woman looks across at her and says, "Oh, then it's only going to be a part-time job?" I thought you ladies would like that more than you did. It's like, yeah, it's only a part-time job. Yeah, you missed the joke. That's all right. So Psalm 121, if you're there, let's look at, beginning with verse 1. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills." Not around here, you won't. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help?" Everybody say help. "My help comes from the Lord." Everyone say help. Yeah, some of you are yelling it. Okay. "Who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved." This describes his kind of help. This is a description of help. Are you ready? "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your helper," or your keeper, excuse me. "The Lord is your shade at night, or your shade at your right hand." Boy, I'm having trouble today. "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." Isn't that an interesting description to go with the fact that the Lord is our helper? He's a helper. How many of you, lots of times during the week, you're calling on your helper? Yeah, we need help from the Lord. I talk to the Lord a lot. I spend a lot of time telling God, help, but I also spend a lot of time thanking God for all sorts of little things. Like, I've been having to do some work on a house that we bought, and we're getting ready to sell ours, and some things have worked out very well. And when something works out good, I am sure to thank God for it. Because there's lots of things that could go wrong with an old house. And when I actually do it and it works, I'm like, thank you, God. I'm so glad I wired something and it didn't blow up in my face or shock me. You know, I'm just really happy when things work. And it was really funny. Lisa Davis and Matt stopped by. And by the way, I've had a couple of people stop by the last few days. It's fun. Stop by and see me. I'll get the dust off my glasses and I'll look at you. And you know, and they stopped by and there was a smell in the house of plumbing that was being glued together. And so Lisa was making fun of me like she thought I was getting high or something because the smell was so strong. But she did say, you know, your eyes are kind of open. Like, you seem to be really animated. You seem to be. And I said, yeah, have you seen the plumbing in the basement? I mean, I get so excited about the dumbest thing. Look what we did. It's going to work so good. I love that stuff. So I am on vacation, really. I'll be working, but I'll be like, oh, this is fun. I like this stuff. And anyway, you can stop by. But I am so glad that God helps us. And God is always ready to help us. He wants to help us. And the word in the original language, I've shared some of this before, but I want to encourage us all about God's help and how God has helped so many of us, especially those of us men who are married. We have had a lot more help than we deserve. The Hebrew word for help or helper is ezer. And it's used 21 times that I could find in the Hebrew Bible, in the Hebrew language in the Bible. So let me read a few of those references to you. Deuteronomy 33:29, he is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Psalm 33:20, he is our help and our shield. I found it interesting that help and shield go together several times. Psalm 70, verse 5, you are our help and my deliverer. Psalm 115:9, he is their help and their shield. Psalm 115:11, he is their help and their shield. Just repeats itself. Says that a lot. You get that picture. You know what a shield is for, right? God's there to help protect you, to keep things from hitting you, keep bad things from happening to you. Psalm 124:8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 146:5, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help. That's us. We've got that. So we're happy. Nudge your neighbor and say, you're happy. Some of you are like, no, I'm not sure I'm going to do that. Not sure I'm going to do that. Hosea 13, verse 9. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. Even though you are just a mess. How many of you have ever been just a mess? You're just walking around and you're just a pile. You're a pile of whatever. And you're a mess. And yet, he is, no matter how bad it is, he's your help. Pretty cool. I mean, that's exciting to me. But then there are these two references that I thought that I should draw your attention to where the word ezer, each one of those was ezer. Every time it said help, it was ezer. Have you ever heard of Ebenezer? Really, Ebenezer is rock of help. Like there was a place where a lot of times when they fought a battle, they wanted to get up on top of a rock where they could rain down, you know, blows on their enemy or whatever. And a lot of times the word rock that's used there is sometimes the idea of a building stone or a fortress that they can, rocks that they built things with. So it, you know, God, Ebenezer, there's a lot of Ebenezer Baptist churches. I don't know whether you've ever seen that, but there are a lot of them. Ebenezer was a important word to a lot of believers. And by the way, I have, well, let me just read this to you first. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Genesis 2:20, but for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Ezer. The woman is called an ezer. Why is that? Because she's easing your life a little bit, guys. That's what she's there for, to help ease your life and make your life easier. Now, a woman's like, oh, now you're putting all the responsibility on us. No, I'm not. Don't go there yet. I have an easer, though. And I found out the word for woman in this passage is the man's ees with an A on it. It's Isa. I have a Lisa easer. And I'm going to tell you what, my life has been helped tremendously. In fact, I think every man's life is helped tremendously by his wife, but sometimes we don't recognize it, and we see the things that we don't like instead of the things that she really does bring, and then we are looking for what we want instead of what we need, which God knew, which is why he made the woman for the man. Because he knew you'd get up and put on an outfit that looks really stupid if you didn't have a good-looking wife, you know, who could look at you good and tell you what was wrong with you. I almost never dress and come to church unless I know that I know because I've worn it several times and she's told me it's okay. Or I run it by her. I even went in today. Normally this shirt I wear with a lighter pair of gray pants, but I wore them yesterday and I tripped when I was walking in the woods with my grandson. And besides that, I wouldn't wear them 2 days in a row anyway, because they would be. So I said, will these go with this today? Because she's an easer. She makes my life easier. You get that, right? You'll never forget this, even though you think it's kind of hokey. But you won't forget it, see? In fact, I am super blessed. The Lord pointed my wife out to me, as I've told you several times. He spoke audibly to me about her being my wife. I knew that this was the woman who was to be my helper. What I didn't realize was she's going to help me by helping me know what not to do sometimes. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But the word help in this passage is not referring to God, yet every other place in the scripture where it's used, it either refers to God or it refers to an army. Do you think helper in the context of the scripture is someone who is just giving you a hand doing something great? Or do you think helper, when it's God or an army, is more than just someone who's giving you a little hand and making your life easier? That's a pretty powerful thing to think about. Let's break it down a little bit. This help meet thing, help, easer, the word is used in the idea of to surround, to protect, or to aid. Aid sounds like somebody who's serving someone, but surround and protect sounds a lot more powerful. And the man is never called the easer, but the woman is. Then it says that she's a help meet. I checked that word out in the original language. It's the Hebrew word kenedgo, kenedo, if I can say it, pronounce it right. And it says corresponding to, counterpart to, equal to, matching. The traditional teaching for the woman as a helpmeet is more that of an assistant for the man who's got important stuff to do. It's more of a subservient kind of a thing. That's the way it's been taught by many nations. However, if you look at the context and how God saw the woman on the day that he created her, you have something completely different than sometimes the way we look at it. So why is this important? Well, it's important because to understand what God's original purpose was in creation is to understand how we should be trying to live today. And gentlemen, it's important because of this verse. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, referring to the wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. People read that weaker vessel thing, and for some reason, they don't get it. If I have a great big old chunky clay pot, and I have a wonderful, beautiful porcelain vase, which one is weaker? Well, you can drop the clay pot and probably not bust it, but you drop that vase and psh. But that doesn't mean that it's not highly valued. In fact, who cares about the clay pot? I want that expensive vase. It's a different type of vessel, even though it can be the same thing. It's kind of like we'll compare it to cars. Us men, we want ourselves a pickup truck. Give me a big old pickup truck, four-wheel drive and a diesel. Well, we like that, don't we? I can throw some stuff in the back of it. Go out, kill me a deer, throw him in the back. You don't put that in your Porsche. Yeah. Yeah. So see, there is a difference in us, and yet both are, if in the latter illustration, vehicles. And if I'm going to go to certain things, I want one because it does things that I need it to do. And if I'm going to something else, I want the other because it's might be a little more comfortable and a little more luxurious. And although the trucks nowadays are getting pretty, it's amazing what they do with some of these trucks nowadays, how comfortable they are. But you get what I'm saying. We have a tendency to think of things that we shouldn't think when it comes to how we look at women sometimes, even how women look at women, even how women think of themselves and where they think their place is in society or in the home or whatever. But when you start to look at the original context of this, this is very, very, very powerful and very important of how important, how valued, and how we should value the woman. Man, if I want my prayers to be effective, then I need to know how properly to honor my wife. And by honor, I mean recognize and understand, get what it is that God has given to you, appreciate it, cherish it. You see what I'm saying? When I do that, I'm not saying that anybody has a perfect wife, except maybe me. But the rest of you guys, I know it just didn't work out that way, but flattery will get me nowhere. She knows better. But what I'm saying is, when you start to recognize the things that she brings and you start to take from what she has to offer and how that's going to bless your life, that you start honoring that and God starts listening to your prayers. That's a big deal. So let's go back to the beginning a little bit, some more, because I want to emphasize some things. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let us,'" Father, Son, Holy Spirit, "'let us make man, and let them make man, and let them.'" This passage is referring to mankind. Let them. Not just him, Adam, but them. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He created them, male and female. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" First, take note that them is more than just him. I've already emphasized that, but I really want to make sure you got that clear. While it may be a man's world in some parts of the world, or even in our world as we know it today, it wasn't God's idea originally for it to be a man's world. It was to be a them world, him and her. Their world together. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God saw the earth and the heavens, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But the streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." And then we move down to verse 18. "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'Now, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." The second chapter of Genesis shows us that the man was formed from the dust and then God breathed life into him. It never says that he did that to the animals. It only says that he did that to the man. Mankind is something different than the rest of animal kind. Although sometimes you look around today and it's hard to tell, isn't it? Just like, I don't know. Well, you know, I think there are some animals running the place sometimes and they're not being godly men. But God breathed life into us and we are different than the animals. So when we see that God made the woman, though, it is interesting that he took the woman not from the dust as he did everything else, but he took the woman from the man. And he formed her, fashioned her, actually, is what the scripture says. And by the way, women have been into fashion ever since. But, sorry. Couldn't help myself. But it is interesting to note that scripture differentiates between formation of the man and the fashioning of the woman, that there was something more, something different, something special about what God was doing there that was different than he did with the man originally. And the woman being designed in a special way, to me, indicates that she should be treated in a special way. It was never in God's intent, whatever we say, that a woman should be a second-class citizen. Let me say that again. It was never God's intent that the woman should be in any way a second-class citizen. He's the original deal, and she's just kind of an afterthought. No. I'm not buying that. And what God made was so special that, if you will, I think it was more refined. In fact, when I do wedding ceremonies, that's one of the things that we say during the wedding ceremony. The man was dust refined, but the woman was doubly refined, one step further from the earth. Something special there. Now, you women don't go getting a big head about all this, but men, try to help your wife have a big head whenever you can. Make her feel special, because she is. She really is. And women were designed to do special things, but women had a personality, or I don't know what I want to call that. The woman sees things a little differently than the man. How many of you guys have noticed that at all? You've noticed that? Some of the guys, yeah, amen. You can say amen. She will go. But anyway, we did have a little problem then in Genesis 3, though, didn't we? The devil came along, taking advantage of the woman. He deceived her. Okay? She was deceived. And then Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing, and he did it anyway. Think about it. Think about it. He didn't want to lose her, I think, was the main reason he did that. But I want to draw your attention to the result of what they did, because we all know they ate of the apple, they fell, sin entered the world. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 19, it says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman,'" interesting, "'and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" The offspring being referred to there was Christ. But that would be a rabbit trail. I'm not going down that. "To the woman, he said, 'I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam, he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate of the fruit of the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" So most of us are familiar with this passage. We've heard this story. Do you realize this passage gives us the curse? It's the curse that was put on the earth. It was the curse that was put over everything. And there were three actual different phases of the curse: one for the serpent, one for the woman, one for the man. Because today we are speaking about woman, I want to draw our attention specifically to the part of her curse that it says in the end of verse 16. did you notice that a man ruling over a woman is part of the curse? So for the man, or excuse me, let me straighten that out a little bit too. For the husband to rule over the wife, we might get into that another week. Sometimes you got to look at these words because a lot of times the word for man is the same as the word for husband and the word for woman is the same as the word for wife. We need to understand that the woman was created to be the man's corresponding equal. And the man and the woman were given a mandate to work together, not one or the other, or one to do it and the other just help. Like as in, oh, I'll give you a little hand with this, but they were to work together to take dominion over the earth. Because together we can do things that we could never do by ourselves. So as long as the curse is in effect, the husband rules over the wife. So what did Jesus come to lift? The curse. This is yes. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to reverse the curse. And the curse is taken away in the cross, the scripture says. So, gentlemen, this is really good news for you. This is the best news you'll hear all day. Maybe in your entire life, if you've not realized it before now. Because most of you men have tried sometime in the past to rule over your wife and you failed at it miserably. Now I've got good news for you. You don't have to. Don't even try. Here you go. You weren't getting it done anyway. Now you have no responsibility for it. I just lifted that off of you because that was under the curse and you're no longer under the curse. So now you don't even have to try. Don't, because you're not going to anyway. But anyway, I'm just saying. You did your best. Now you can relax. But Pastor Tim, what about the New Testament scripture that says the wife needs to submit to her husband? I don't know whether I should launch into this or not. I probably won't. Today. But what if I launched into this next week? What if I just curtailed this a little bit today and we just launched into this next week sometime? You might want to read. Well, let me just read a little bit of what will start next week's message to you. Can I do that? Because there's a part two to what we're doing today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 33. See to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This was Paul writing to the Ephesians after what Jesus had done. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So I just want you to get this idea. We are going to get some context with this, and I'll read you a little bit more. But Paul's instruction to us is not to be foolish and to be wise. So keep this mindset as we read the next few verses. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things God the Father, for giving thanks always for all the things God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Everybody say submitting to one another. Mm-hmm. I've just read you a context leading up to a text that is often quoted by some men. And I wanted to get to this context a little bit, and then you can read it again for yourself a little bit if you want before next week, and we'll jump back into it. But the idea is we walk in submission to one another. Maybe I should just do this too. Let me remind you of the real meaning of submission. Submission is to come under a mission. Guys, if your mission is to watch football on Sunday and for her to bring you snacks and beer, And that's what she's there for, snacks and beer. And your mission is to just sit there and watch football. You're going to work all week and you're going to come home and watch football. If that's your mission, ladies, don't come into submission to that mission. That's a dumb mission. It's a selfish mission. And here's the other thing. If you're going to be in submission, so is the man in submission to the mission. If the man is in submission to the mission, then you can be in submission to that same mission with him, and that makes you equal. Wow, what an idea! If more men understood this, they would have as much fun as I've had. As I have had a really good time. We'll get back to this. I'm getting too deep into what we probably need to do next week, and I need to explain better. If you really want to understand it, next week I'll explain it. What I want to say, though, is I am blessed because I had a wonderful mother who gave a good example and knew how to help encourage me. My mama, I brought home several girls. And mama just kind of, she'd never say no, like not her, but you could just tell that wasn't happening. Yeah, mama's no. I brought home Miss Lisa. Mama knew right from the beginning. Now, he's got something there. That's the one for him. It wasn't that the other girls weren't fine. They're probably fine with someone else. They just wouldn't have been so fine with me. Even though a lot of them looked fine, but not as fine as the one I ended up with. First time I took Lisa home, she called my mom, Mom. And I just there was just something going on there. And I know that to this day, and this is, by the way, 40 Mother's Days now from my wife. She was a mother. Her first Mother's Day was 40 years ago, where she was officially a mom. I know that my helpmeet has been way more help than I deserved. And sometimes I still, you know, we pick at each other. Don't get me wrong. Don't think everything's just perfect with us. I couldn't figure out what she was doing yesterday. We were in a store, and she's just dinking around. I'm like, I've got my stuff already. Let's go. All grumpy. At one point yesterday, she said, you've been grumpy lately. All right. I needed that help. She'd been a helper. I watched my mama help my dad. I know that some of you have been through some stuff. Some of you ladies were not treated the way you should have been treated by the man in your life. And sometimes I'd like to go flog that guy. Tell him, get yourself a mission, son. And I'm not talking about the one you're on right now, which is selfish. Bothers me. And I know not every woman has always been perfect in the way she tried to help. But the bottom line is, when we bring what God had in mind together, it becomes a powerful thing that not only blesses us, but blesses the generations under us. So on Mother's Day, I like to celebrate that place where we are now, or where we should be, where the curse is broken, and where if we'll let God do this the way he wants to, it's powerful. It can make a huge difference. And it can bring our lives together in a way that makes things work. You know, it's kind of like if you follow the instructions, it's amazing how everything, according to the instructions, you put everything together right. It's amazing how it can work. And I haven't always worked it right. My wife hasn't always worked it right. I'm not trying to make us sound like, you know. But I am beyond blessed. I'm beyond blessed. My Lisa Ezer. She's protected me. She's covered me. She's kept me from making some really dumb mistakes. Not all of them, because sometimes you have to just let them do it. Girls, just get to know, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But I'm just saying, this is the way God saw it from the beginning.